Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And beginning with verse 23. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor. And our unpresentable parts have greater modesty, but our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no division in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually.
We've had a wonderful meeting. I want to express my appreciation to each of you for the work you've done, the interest you've shown, the participation in so many ways. I do appreciate our song leaders in particular. I appreciate RJ this morning and, of course, all of those who led during the meeting. Good song leading really is very effective in directing our minds toward God. I think it helps the preaching, and I appreciate the fact that we have so many together that we can sing and talk about and express our hearts to God. This morning, I want to talk about our need to belong. I'm going to talk about how each of us are put together and talk about maturing in faith to understand the great work God can do through us. You know, God made us to need others. I'll have to admit that I guess in growing up I was kind of a geeky guy and kind of slow to mature. And I sort of just kind of like to be around my buddies and do my sports things and kind of for a while just tried to avoid the reality of my need for others. But God made it clear to Adam in the very beginning and clear to us that we need others. Adam, even though he was created without Eve in the beginning. And there were the animals, there was the creation, he had work to do, and as he saw all of these animals, there became a need within Adam, verse 20. It says, so Adam gave names to all the cattle and to the birds of the air and to every beast of the field, but for Adam there was not found a helper comparable to him. I will tell you, when you don't have those you can connect with in life, there's a need, there's a pain. Now in this case, Adam was given Eve. God created Eve from his rib. In verse 24 it says, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. We understand the marriage relationship is the ultimate way to be satisfied in terms of having someone to help you and someone that you can serve. And that's assuming we're talking about people who love the Lord. Marriage can be great, but even beyond that, we need people. And I recognize it's very, I'm particularly thinking of our college students, our new students that are here, but it's true for any of us at any age of life, any transition of life, we need to connect. You come from another town to a new place, you need to connect. If you're an adult and you move from one town to another, you need to make connections. Now, what I'm going to be talking to you about is not just any relationship. I'm going to talk about Christians. And I want to give emphasis here. We're not just talking about being a social club. We're going to be talking about people who have been humbled and love the Lord. And it's the blood of Christ that gives us our identity. But even because I'm a human, even as a human, I need people. I need to feel like I'm accomplishing something in the lives of others. You know what's hurting us today greatly? Is the internet. It's the game consoles that we can spend time at. It is our iPhones that we can text. And I'm not against texting. I'm not against email. I'm not against the modern conveniences. But you know what you can do? You can substitute people for electronic things. I think there's a great struggle within men and sometimes even women of even the temptations toward that which is wrong and on the internet, and you can almost substitute technology for people. There was an interesting article. I didn't give you the quote of the article, but it's interesting. There was a page, I think it was on a paper recently, about how there are those who make a lot of money in Japan. As a matter of fact, it's done in other places, where for $10 an hour, you can be hired to sit and talk and have another person talk to you, and you listen without judgment. I read the article and said, that's interesting. And then I saw a quotation. It goes, oh, yeah, there was a college student that did this years ago. He, for $10 an hour, you could come into his apartment, and he'd put a curtain up, and you could sit on the other side of the curtain, and you could talk all you want, and he would listen. And he would have all kinds of people coming in because people wanted somebody to talk to. You may think that sounds silly, but I will tell you, we live in a very lonely and isolated society. Let's take God's wisdom this morning. God's wisdom that'll help us better understand ourselves and others. Let me again say this. We are Christians. We believe that Jesus died for our sins, that he was raised from the dead. We believe there is a life that is after this that is better. We believe there's a God who sees and knows us. We want to live for him. We want to do what is right. And within that context, we as Christians need each other. Look at Hebrews 10:23. Those who've been bought by the blood of Christ and understand what it's like to connect with God understand this term, one another. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another. The mark of spiritual growth and maturity is when we get out of ourselves and I'm thinking of you and you're thinking of me. A local church, Christians in our relationships, it becomes significant when we know we care for each other because of the love of God. Not everyone is there. Not everyone who comes to an assembly like this is looking to help another. Some are needy, and we want to help those who are needy. And want to help them in terms of connecting with them, and maybe they not give anything in return. But we want to be a giving people. Why do we need to belong? You know, you could deny how you've been created. That's the sad thing about our culture right now. Oh, you get to choose if you're male or female. Now, I recognize the underlying problem in the bathroom wars that have occurred in our culture. There is a serious psychological issue that some people go through, and actually our family has had interaction with one young lady years ago that were having these problems, and I do not in any form want to ridicule that person. I hurt for them. But they're dealing with a psychological, emotional issue that is not normal, and there needs to be help for that person. And what's happening today is they're trying to mainstream an idea that you can somehow pick your sex or pick these various things that go contrary to how we've been created. Good luck with that. You're going to be miserable. Genesis 1:26, let me tell you, God created us male and female, but he also created us in his image. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. Let me tell you something about being in the image of God. You know what my God is like? My God loves me. My God is interested in having a relationship with me. Somehow my relationship with God means something to God. I don't know why that's true, but I know it's true. And I believe when we're created in the image of God, we are created with a need to have relationship. First off with God, primarily God. Number one with God. But I believe we find our ultimate fulfillment in being like God. where we can give, where we can actually accomplish things in helping others. I believe we are innately built that way. And if we are not involved with others and we don't believe we're building one another up, we're not very happy. In Acts 17, we won't talk about everything about Acts 17, but here Paul is trying to find common ground with unbelievers. And unbelievers, if they're honest, can know there's a God. Unbelievers, if they're honest, knows there's a God who takes care of them and does good to them. Unbelievers, if they're honest, would understand there's a need to know God. And he has made every nation from one blood every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth, and has determined their preappointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings, so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they may grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. As some of your own poets have said, for we are his offspring. We need to belong to God. But when you belong to God, let me tell you something. It's not, I realize he nurtures us. He treats us as a child. And it's a beautiful picture of a parent holding a child and loving a child and nurturing a child. But what God does for us, he nurtures us and builds us up. And then we are made to serve. He wants us to get out of ourselves and get involved with others. Let's talk about the home. Brethren, I mourn for our country. I mourn for the broken homes. The government action that has created broken homes and will create more. And I realize there will be those in this audience that have not had a normal home. And you can serve God and be faithful. And I realize there are many that don't know what it means like to have loving parents. I do believe many of you do. And if you've had such a home, you need to understand how rare that is. How rare it is to have Christian parents. How rare it is to have those parents caring for you and wanting you to serve the Lord. It's a great blessing. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, Ephesians 6:4, but bring them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord. I tell you, those who have a good home are given a gift that'll give you a strength and a power to deal with this life. Again, there's another article, and I don't have all the title of the article, but it just talks about the very truth. There's an article really dealing with addiction. It talks about the opposite of addiction is connection. And it was talking about that many people who are struggling with addictions, that oftentimes it can go back to the home. It oftentimes can go back to hurts and unable to be healed of hurts and the ability or the lack of ability to connect with others. And speaking of the home, it says it reveals that humans require social connection for optimal brain development. And that babies cared for in a loving environment are psychologically and neurologically immunized by love. When things get difficult in adult life, the neural wiring develops from a love-filled childhood leads to an increased emotional resilience in adult life. And all those things are true. And I'll tell you one thing, God knew that long before science ever was developed amongst men. God knew that we need homes, we need loving parents. We need to belong. One of the best ways to help this world is to raise your children in a loving environment, in a disciplined environment. One of the best things you can do is have a good relationship with your mate. A home where there is communication, a home where there is love, a home where the child knows he belongs, he or she belongs. Hebrews 12, verse 5. He says, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you're rebuked by him. For whom the love of the Lord, he chastens, and he scourges every son who he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? And sadly today, there's plenty. But you know, I think back to my dad. Every time I see a D-Day special, I look real carefully at the pictures. My dad was involved with that in World War II. I've never seen his picture yet. Now, I have some pictures of him in the military. I've run across some old ones lately. But let me tell you why the thought of my dad gives me strength. I had a dad who loved me, and he knew what was going on in my life, and he wasn't afraid to spank me, to correct me. I didn't get many spankings. I didn't need to. I can remember the occasions where I would kind of act up, and Mother, she knew how to pull the nuclear weapon on me. Sometimes I'd like her spankings because, you know, she'd make me choose a switch, and she'd switch me, and it didn't hurt, and so I'd kind of, you know, act like I was crying. You know how it is. Some of y'all have done that, you know, kind of pretend, yeah, get the mother spanking. Oh, but sometimes my mother would say, I'd get kind of sassy. Well, we'll just wait till your dad comes home. And that was, oh, the heart dropped. And he would always make me go to the restroom and wait. Oh, the waiting part, the anticipation. And I didn't have to be spanked by my dad very much. And I knew what the limits were. And I knew my dad wouldn't let me cross those lines. Was I abused? No. I was loved. And I, to this day, am thankful for the discipline that my father showed me. And you see, when you come out of such a home and you've connected and you've had that, you have been given a great blessing. But let's go further. Let's talk about loneliness. I recognize in college this is a great time where you're going to experience probably loneliness in a way you've never experienced before. By the way, it's not just for college students. A person can go through the death of a loved one, can go through a divorce. As I've suggested, you can move from a place where you've been well-known and well-connected to a totally new place. I mean, loneliness can come at any age, but I particularly think of our college students. One of the harshest penalties in prison is solitary confinement. You know, I used to not think anything about this until I saw this show. Again, you don't have to watch this show, but it's a reality show called Alone. And I love the survival shows, and these were some people that what they basically were going to do, they were going to get this huge paycheck, hundreds of thousands of dollars, if they stayed out in the wilderness longer than anyone else, and they had to film their experience. And I usually think, what would be the toughest thing of being out in the wilderness, getting enough food, you know, catching the fish, not let the bears eat you, you know. And I usually think that was the hardest thing, but you know what I realized is you saw these people go through this week in, week out, month in, month out, isolated by yourself. The greatest challenge was between the ears. I like what one guy who won this said, man, you better know yourself. And you better know who you are before you get out here like this. Because being alone, you're going to find out things about yourself you didn't know. It's fascinating how loneliness is a pain that sometimes we don't often talk about. And by the way, in our society, even today, you go to the nursing homes in our area. There are elderly who've been abandoned. Loneliness hurts. When you're lonely, you don't feel very complete. You don't feel secure. Ecclesiastes 4:9, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to lift him up. Loneliness makes you feel very, very insecure. When you're lonely, you can tend to look on the past. And maybe you look back with longing on your good home, and I'm glad you have those memories. But there is a tendency sometimes to, like I say, just think, well, nothing's good's going to happen ahead of time. I look back, and Job, in his case, he definitely had a change of life that was tremendous. And he says, oh, that I were in as months past, as in the days when God watched over me. And then you can read the context. We'll be reading this passage later. Job couldn't return to his past, but Job could, in loneliness, remember the good times he did have. Let me tell you something about our God. Our God knows your needs. We all will go through times of loneliness. We all at times are going to experience this pain. And if you have had good friends and good family and good relationships, remember them. They are gifts of God. as Jesus remembered on the cross, as he was suffering on the cross, about how God answered prayer, that those who trusted God were delivered. I trust in your life the loneliness will only be for a while. God will help you. But as you experience loneliness, you tend to focus on yourself. You kind of even notice your faults, you know. You kind of look, and sometimes it's a struggle. When you're lonely, it's like being hungry. You can try to ignore it, but it's there, and you recognize it. And the danger is sometimes you begin to think that you're different, that something's wrong with you. And let me tell you, let me just stop right here. There's nothing wrong with you. You're not some weird person that nobody wants to be around. It's not you. You're going through a time. There may be some wisdom you need to develop. I pray that God will answer prayers for people to connect with you. But don't beat yourself up in loneliness. God may be allowing you to go through a struggle for you to learn some things, as Job did. Job 30 and verse 9. He says, "And now I am their taunting song. Yes, I am their byword. They abhor me. They keep far from me. They do not hesitate to spit on my face." Now, I don't think we have people treating others like that here. But could I tell you something, brethren? Please, if you are connected, if you're enjoying the relationship of other Christians, if things are going well in your life, please look out among you and look for someone else to connect with. Let's not have cliques. And when we're just satisfied with who we're around and we fail to look out for others. That's a major point of my lesson. But when you're lonely, it can drain your energy. You can get caught up in worry. You can get caught up, like I said, in beating yourself up. You can get caught up in fear, and it can just drain you. And you can second-guess yourself, and you can even second-guess God. If you're not careful, if you do not maintain your faith, loneliness could drag you down to this reality where you've written off the church, you've written off God, you've written off your life. 1 Kings 19, faithful prophet Elijah went through a time where he's ready to die. And he says he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree, and he prayed that he might die. And said, "It is enough now, Lord, take my life, for I'm no better than my fathers." Verse 14, he says, "I've been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life." Loneliness is no fun, and he was isolated for months during this drought. Be careful. Don't let your emotion create a reality that's not true. There are men of faith who've experienced pain. Jesus, Psalm 69:20, I believe, is speaking of Jesus. The reason why I say that, verse 21, is a fulfillment of the cross where it says, "They gave me gall for my food, and for my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink." Look at verse 20. "Reproach has broken my heart. I'm full of heaviness. I looked for someone to take pity, but there was none, and for comforters, but I found none." Jesus said that he was going to the cross, "You're going to forsake me and leave me alone." Jesus was suffering alone. Understand, our Lord knows if you're lonely. Our Lord knows if you're brokenhearted. Our Lord knows. We read about Paul. I just refer the verse where he had no rest. He was troubled on every side. We'll talk about that verse later in the study. King David, listen to this one. "Look on my right hand and see, for there's no one who acknowledges me. Refuge has failed me. No one cares for my soul." Every one of us will have times, and maybe many times, we experience such an emotion. Now, it is very important that we as Christians, and this is the thing I've already exhorted you, I really want to exhort you in this. Brethren, please look out for others. You know, in the home, brethren, you know what happens in the home a lot of times? In the home, a lot of times, we get very busy and we go different directions and we don't connect very much. I can remember one time I was spending a little too much time on the computer, and Yvette came up to me and put a little screen around her face with some controls and put her face in it in order to talk to me. That's a nice little way of hinting that. And I think that recently there's been some I think, camps where Yvette has taken the cell phone, you know, taken the cell phone and used that as a substitute, you know, in terms of how sometimes, you know, we can be around each other and not really be connecting. And I will tell you something, in your family, in your marriage relationship, number one, make sure you're connecting there. Make sure your family's connected to you. Husbands, love your wife, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. And by the way, you're going to be blessed when you do this. Wives need to understand the husbands. Connect with the husbands. Nevertheless, each of you in particular shall love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Brethren, there may have been a time in our marriage where we had it together and we were communicating and we expressed our love to one another. That's wonderful. Guess what you have to do? You've got to maintain it. And it takes time and it takes connection. And that takes that with our children as well. Men can end up connecting at work. And the wife is left with the children in a whole nother world that the man has no understanding of. And by the way, and I'll use this point now. Brethren, I'm guilty of this. But maybe the next time we have get-togethers, maybe we just ought to cut off that cell phone. Have you seen it now where, I've seen it, sometimes we'll do it, in our home. Everybody's at the dinner table, we're at the restaurant, everybody's got their cell phone out. I guess we can text one another, I don't know. You know, it's interesting how our society is going, where we can be around people and ignore the people and be in our electronics. We need to connect. But you see, the challenge is, you know what we need? We need somebody that really is interested in hearing us, knowing us. We need somebody to talk to. You may be surprised in a building as full as we have today of those who have such a need. You know, they say, well, Larry, I'm so busy. I'm sure you are. Larry, I don't have enough time. Let's see, I get 24 hours in a day. How much time do you get? You've heard this. How much time do you have? You make time for what is important. And I will tell you something. I'm not going to be critical of our families who take the time to put their home first and to put their mates first and their children first. I will not criticize you for taking such a stand and doing that. But let's now reach out to others. You know what happens when you're too busy? You're in a prison you've put yourself in. The key is in your hands. You can make a change. Christian maturity. Some people say, well, how do we know who's qualified to be an elder? Who's qualified to be a deacon? Who's a true spiritual leader? And I know there are qualifications listed in Scripture, but let me tell you another way of looking at those qualifications. We talk about spiritual maturity. Here's spiritual maturity. As was spoken as Timothy. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, that I also may be encouraged when I know your state. For I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state. Do you know people in this congregation that care for others? You know, somebody actually will listen to another, pursue another, not stay within a certain, you know, we all can be challenged. Every one of us are challenged here. But I'm going to tell you, being able to get out of yourself, and you know, we do a lot of things here, try to connect with people. We do things for various ages in various places, and I realize you can't make everything, and I realize you've got your own schedule, and when we do these extra things, they're extra things. But you know, I can also tell when somebody has grown spiritually where they're saying, let me help another. I want to find another to help. I want to put a hand out there. There is true spirituality and maturity. That doesn't take great ability. But it does take an unselfish heart. I would rather us not have a lot of people with great Bible knowledge and be loners. I want people with Bible knowledge and people who will connect with others. I think we can have both. But it doesn't help you to have great Bible knowledge and you be kind of got this great wall around you. And you don't know your brethren, and then you're easy to write people off. Let me say another thing too, brethren. I don't know what our future may hold, but tomorrow, in an instant, you may be put into a very different world. I think of the Sanders family. I went to the funeral yesterday. Many of you did as well. And I cannot imagine overnight having a daughter who just had a new child to die. I couldn't imagine if it was my sister that died. You know, there are times that can happen. I remember when my dad became critically ill and went into a critical care unit for months. And I left from Nebraska in 92, and I flew in. It was like I was transported on a spaceship to a whole new world. It may be other things. Your health could fail. There could be so many things that could happen. Brethren, we need to connect with others because there's going to be a day we're going to need help. You know what Paul did? Paul, the Apostle Paul. Toward the end of his life, this is what he wrote. 2 Timothy 4:16, at first my first defense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. May it not be charged against them. Sometimes my brethren may let me down. God hasn't let me down. And I want to tell you, when my brethren lets me down, there are other brethren who have known they wouldn't have let me down. These things happen. You think of Job. Talk about losing one child. Think about losing a whole number of children in one day. Losing your health, losing your reputation, even your wife telling you, curse God and die. That was overnight. Job 29, verse 4, and just as I was in the days of my prime, when the friendly counsel of God was over my tent, when the Almighty was yet with me, when my children were around me, when my steps were bathed with cream. He's remembering those things. And then what ends up happening? Here he was approved. He was great. But now, verse 9, we read part of this verse earlier. And now I am their taunting song. Yes, I am their byword. They abhorred me. They keep far from me. They do not hesitate to spit in my face because he has loosened my bowstring and afflicted me. They have cast off restraint before me. He later describes himself, verse 27, my heart is in turmoil and cannot rest. Days of affliction confront me. I go about mourning, but not in the sun. I stand up in the assembly and cry out for help. I am a brother of jackals and a companion of ostriches. Here Job went from one extreme to another. He was lonely and he was faithful. That could happen to you and me. It can happen to us. I pray that you'll be strong enough when that happens and be prepared. I pray that we'll find the companionship that we need. It's not done through social media. I want to go ahead and draw the lesson to a close. A few more points and then we'll close. What is needed when it comes to the companionships and relationships, we need to have Jesus Christ in common. Every day, we need to be a people that are reminded that I've been bought with a price. I've been bought by the grace of God. Every day, I need to remember that here I am Christ, and if I could somehow serve another as Christ has blessed me, if I can serve another, that's the motivation here. We're not talking about a social club. We're not talking about somehow using psychological methods to make people feel better. We need, primarily and first off, to be bought by the blood of Christ. And when that occurs, then this will occur. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor. And our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. We read the verse in your hearing at the beginning here. Hey, what do you do when somebody's socially awkward? What do you do when somebody's not connecting? What do you do when somebody's outside of your social or educational or zone of common interest and they're a Christian? Spiritual maturity will help us. And by the way, we need wisdom. By the way, those of you who are struggling, and you may say, this is an unfriendly church. Students are not friendly to me. I can't connect. And you know, I admit to you, we'll have people at different spiritual levels, and there are some that are not thinking of you. I recognize that. I recognize because we're a congregation. We have people at various levels of maturity. But you be sure you make yourself available. And that you're not running from others that are reaching out to you. I see that happen. Drawing to a conclusion. What I need to do is I need to trust God. What did Paul do when he was overwhelmed? What did David do when he was overwhelmed? Remember how he was left? He says, all forsook me. Notice what he did, verse 17. But the Lord stood with me. Oh, for us to develop a faith in God, a daily thankfulness, a daily awareness that God is with me, and even though I don't like where I'm at, I suffer, I wish this could be better, I know it's going to be better. Because the Lord is with me. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, and the message might be preached fully through me, that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of lions. Notice what he said here, God delivered me. My suffering ended up being for good. If you can know God that well, then there's a strength and a calmness that will come from such a knowledge of God. Remember in Psalms 142, remember how he said, nobody acknowledged me, no one cares for my soul. Verse 4, look at verse 5. What did David do? What do you do when you think nobody cares about you? What do you do when you feel like you're in a strange place and no one cares about you? No one wants to help you. I think that's an extreme. But even if it's true, look at verse 5. I cried out to you, O Lord. I said, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of living. By the way, some of the greatest growth you'll ever experience will be in loneliness. Boy, if you can turn to God in that. Learn about the value of worship. Learn the value of association with other Christians. Remember 2 Corinthians 7? We read earlier about Paul had all these trouble within and without. You know what comforted him? Verse 6, nevertheless, God who comforts the downcast comforted us by the coming of Titus. I pray you've got good Christians that are in your life, and they may live in another place. I hope you'll develop some that are local. But there's something beautiful about having that brother or sister that you can trust and you can be yourself with. Maybe they're gone for a while. You can come back and reestablish that relationship. Please don't let your loneliness lead you to greater isolation. And here's the problem. We know what most people do. And by the way, students, I'll tell you very frankly. First 4 weeks of school, if we don't connect with people, normally we end up losing. And oftentimes they're lost to the Lord. Oftentimes what happens, a person doesn't connect, they start pulling within, and they start this pattern of withdrawal. Years ago, there was a brother that did a study, a sociological study, on the difference of how a Christian made it or didn't make it. And he looked at all kinds of factors, and he made this conclusion in his study. The key to a Christian making it or not making it was them breaking off 3 old relationships and establishing 3 new relationships. That stunned me when I heard that. But I found that to be true. I have found that when our faith is what it ought to be, we need help. And I believe God will provide that if you'll seek it as well. In Leviticus 19:34, here's a very interesting passage. You know, brethren, many of us got it going well. Many of us, we have our homes, we have our children, we have things. We've got challenges, but God has blessed us. And let this passage challenge us. It says, Leviticus 19:34, the stranger who dwells among you shall be to you as one born among you. and you shall love him as yourself. For you were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. You know, have you heard a little phrase in here before about this? How important is Leviticus 19:34? Have you memorized it? Or do you read it often? Or maybe this is the first time you've heard of this verse. You actually have heard of this verse before. When you go back to Matthew 22, when Jesus talked about the two greatest commandments, he says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Let's go back here. You shall love him as yourself. We need to be a people thinking of others. Ever been a stranger? Ever moved to a new place before? Hey, seniors, remember what it was like when you came here? You remember the freshman, you know, you kind of, sometimes people joke about the freshman experience, the distant look, you know, when they go through the shock and awe of going to school for the first time. You remember what that's like? I've had some older students, they smile about that. Yeah, I remember that first year. Okay, remember that first year. Let's reach out to others as Jesus exhorted us in this verse. I'm going to conclude. John 16:32. Jesus telling his own disciples this very sobering statement. Indeed, the hour is coming. Yes, and has now come that you will be scattered each to his own and will leave me alone. Yet I am not alone because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you'll have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. All of us will go through times of loneliness. But I'm thankful God never forsakes me. And can I say this one more time? You will never, ever regret reaching out and getting involved with another and helping someone in their need and their pain, just to be there to listen, and maybe even in a greater way to help them in their path to heaven. May God make our hearts all more tender, and may we all be tools of service in His hand. We want to extend the invitation to become a Christian this morning. The invitation is one of complete denial. The invitation is one of complete forgiveness. The invitation of one that is absolutely trustworthy, and God, who never lies, will absolutely do what He says He will. If you've not yet become a Christian, you recognize Jesus as the Son of God, we would love this morning to see you trust in God. Let go of your will in repentance. Confess Him as the Son of God. We'd love to baptize you this morning. At every invitation, Christian, let's look at our hearts. Let's get out of ourselves. Let's let God work through us in every way. If we can assist you in any way, would you come as we stand and sing?